You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing. Your hosts for today are...
Ava.
Michael Phipps.
Alice.
Lauren.
Today we are talking to an artist, Michael Phipps. He did the cover work for James Dashner's Jimmy Fincher series. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy
to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
First of all, I'm going to let you give yourself your intro. Let you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I've been doing art professionally for 4 years full-time now, but a few years before that I was doing it moonlighting, but doing art my whole life. Just when I was a kid, my friends and I, we drew together, we made things together, so it's always something I wanted to do, and very fortunate to be doing it now. I have a wife and 3 kids, and love them to death, and so between the art and family, that's takes up most of my time. Grew up in Salt Lake City and now living in Orem.
So how did you start working as an artist? I understand there's a story there.
Well, I went to school in art. I graduated in illustration. So a few jobs started right there just during school. You know, there would always be a few things posted in the hallways. Do you want to do a logo for us, or we need someone for this or that? Really low-paying jobs, and so I started doing those kind of things and tried to do those, a lot of those along the way, and hoping that they would build up till one day I could be doing them full-time.
Make a living with it.
So I guess that worked. What the story is,
I don't know. Hopefully that'll
come out.
Oh, you want me to tell the story? From what I understand, you were working at a different job, and you came home to your wife one day
said... that story. There is a story.
How he became a full-time artist.
Yeah, becoming an artist, that started decades ago. Becoming a full-time artist, I had been working in food services for a number of years, and just kind of happened that way. I had some really fun jobs doing it, but it's not what I wanted to do, so... I was working towards being a full-time artist, and it just got to that point where I was a little tired of putting candy in vending machines and came home to my wife one day and said, "Honey, I think it's time for me to do this, to be an artist." And
she trusted you and said...
Yeah, it was pretty,
okay.
Wow.
Pretty instant. She said, "Okay, all right, let's do it." Which isn't to say there weren't fears on, you know, from
both our parts. That's a serious leap of faith.
Mm-hmm. It is. It says a lot about
you married the right woman.
definitely. And that was a great example of that. So.
Good. What is some of the work you've done? We've talked about the cover work for James Dashner's Jimmy Fincher series. What other pieces have you done?
It's varied a lot in the kinds of things I've done. The book covers I've done, four for James Dashner, all in the Jimmy Fincher series. I did another cover for John Shute, who self-published a book called The L.E.E. Warrior. I've done a number of CD covers just for independent bands that kind of do, a lot of them do more artsy, creative music. And
I saw one you'd done very recently for a band. What was the name of the band?
Did one for Advent.
Advent, that was the one that I saw on your webpage.
Yeah, and I'm doing one right now for a band called Oblivion Sun. Some of these approach me, and Oblivion Sun actually approached them. It's a band I like, so I said, "Hey, do you need any art?" And they did.
And they did. Woohoo! So,
there's one way to get jobs. And,
that's great.
And that worked out. So I've done a number of CD covers. I've done mural work for the LDS Church and the visitor centers.
Hmm.
You mean
here in Utah?
Visitor centers or the conference center?
Visitor centers, Los Angeles Visitor Center.
Mm.
I recently renovated the one in Palmyra, New York.
Wow.
I did one for New Zealand Visitor Center, but I didn't get to go there. I did it in Salt Lake and rolled it up and shipped it.
So you did it, it's just on canvas?
Yeah, I built a huge frame. That one was... I can't quite remember. It's maybe 17 feet high.
Oh, good heavens.
23,
wow.
25 feet wide. My friend and I built the frame and stretched canvas on it and then hoisted it. It's kind of like a barn raising. And
so it's like the
New Zealand Sistine Chapel mural.
Well,
maybe. I
didn't,
hope so.
This one didn't connect onto the ceiling as the one in Los Angeles did. I did paint the same ceiling there. If it had, I probably would have been able to go there and do it. So, but as it was, I just painted on the canvas, took it down, rolled it on a tube, put it in a bigger tube, and shipped it off.
That's a really big tube.
It's a very big tube. It's normally for pouring concrete.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So do you prefer the hand art or the computer art?
Almost everything I do is traditional art as far as the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I paint a lot in acrylics. I paint some in oil. And that's just my preference. I'm not anti-computer art, even though it's taken over the industry. But I view that as an advantage in that I'm one of the people to kind of stick it out in painting, and that sets me apart in a way now, which is kind of weird because that used to be that's all it was painting. So I like it for a few reasons. I like having a tangible product at the end of painting, and in fact, I've been able to use that in a way that where, for instance, the John Shute, who I did a cover for, he then bought the art from me, which was a second paycheck for it.
Nice.
But I like having that physical art, and I like the look of the paints. And like I say, I'm not against computer art. There's a lot of it I really like, but just for my own style, I think the painting works a little better. Although I do use Photoshop for a few different things, or Adobe Illustrator, for instance. I sometimes do type. I like to do really fancy lettering and things. So the Elite Warrior that I did for John Shute, I painted the cover and then I created the type in Illustrator.
Mm-hmm. So you put the cover together for him?
Yeah, and I think in most cases he was, like I say, self-published, but with a large publisher, they would have someone else doing the graphic design and doing the type, and which I'm fine with because, you know, regular type work I don't necessarily want to do, and there's probably a lot of people who are better at it than I am, but when it's something fancy, and I'm a big fan of illuminated manuscripts, you know, these old books, like the Book of Kells, where the first letter is really fancy and really decorated.
Oh, yeah. I love those too.
So that's a big
inspiration
for me.
They're like artwork. The letter.
The lines and the stuff all twined around.
The problem with those is they're not very legible. So that's a struggle. I'll want to make it really fancy and not necessarily legible, whereas it needs to be on a book.
Have you used watercolors or pencils, or have you used all those mediums?
Yeah, I've used just about everything.
Just about everything. Do you have a favorite?
You know, they all have their advantages. I think the easiest to use is colored pencils. I guess just growing up drawing, I always had a pencil in my hand, not a paintbrush. There's a lot more control. But paints will give you certain effects that pencils won't.
Do you do a pencil outline first when you
do a
painting?
I'll always draw it out. There's several different stages. Starts with a thumbnail, just really quick drawings, look really ugly, just to show where it's going to fit on the book, or whatever it's going to be, where it's going to fit on the canvas, just trying to get the layout. And then there will be, you know, a drawing that's taking a little more time, a little more detail, a few generations of that. And so by the time I get to starting the painting, I'll take that finished drawing and transfer it onto the illustration board or canvas.
Have you ever used Publisher to build a thumbnail?
I haven't.
So you do the artist version of outlining.
Yeah. Which isn't to say I have put the drawing into Photoshop and played around with color on there for the thumbnail or for the comps. I did a piece for Pioneer Theater Company in Salt Lake, Midsummer Night's Dream. And it's, you know, the scene I wanted to do is in the night, and there's all these fairies floating around.
I saw it. I like it.
Yeah, thank you. So
I like that sort of thing.
It was just easier to throw it in Photoshop and use these paintbrushes to make these glowing fairies and stuff, whereas graphite or colored pencils wouldn't have
done
that
well.
Then the end result, it was completely painted in acrylics, but it was helpful to use a computer to kind of move things around and see how I wanted to do the layout.
You do a lot of prep work then.
There's a whole lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not one who can just have a canvas in front of me, just start painting and come out with something wonderful. There's a lot of initial work that goes into it, a lot of looking up references, you know, if there's going to be...
There's research to...
Yeah, a lot of research.
That goes into
this. If there's going to be, you know, a certain kind of animal in it, I'll look up a lot of pictures of that. And so a lot of that goes into it before I get to the painting.
So just out of curiosity, have you ever started to paint something and then it completely goes off in another direction and it changes in the middle?
Pretty much every time.
Even it comes alive and it...
Yeah, it's always different and in good and bad ways. Some vision I had in the beginning doesn't get completely realized, but things happen that I didn't expect. And I like that aspect of it.
Has it ever matched up to what is in your head?
No, it never does, I don't think.
Okay, I noticed on your website you have a very, I don't know what you'd call it, a very surreal style. What are some of the things, or who are some of the people that influenced your style?
Well, as far as the surreal style goes, I had someone write me one day and say, hey, since you're a fellow surrealist, and I had never thought of it before, I'd never thought of myself as a surrealist, and so that kind of took me back. I guess I do like some of the surrealist painters. I think Dali was quite amazing. I don't like all of his work, but I like a lot of what he did. I like, as I mentioned, illuminated manuscripts, and those have more than just the letters. There's a lot of, you know, artwork that went into that.
Well, the bordering and the those are amazing to me. They're so detailed.
And I love that really intricate work. And when people say less is more, I think that's true in some cases. And as far as my work goes, that's not how I work, which is unfortunate because it means everything takes a lot longer. But so I like that kind of medieval look. I like M.C. Escher a lot. He did some fantasy work, and he did a lot of landscape work, and he did more graphic things, and I like all those things kind of working together, and once again, his work's very intricate, which often really attracts me.
Mm-hmm. How do you come up with ideas?
I try to vary it. I try to use different springboards for ideas, and I'll usually know about a project in advance, so I'll be thinking about it while I'm working on a different one, or just during the day, in the shower, and so different things that I see or hear even.
But it takes a little bit of stewing to get the idea put together.
Like I say, sitting in front of a blank canvas, that's the worst way to do it, sitting down at a piece of paper. That's awful.
Oh, you sit down with a blank Word document in front of you, and there will be nothing in your head, I can promise.
Yeah, the blankness reflects into your brain, and that's what you get back. I just try to have whatever influences me during the day, and I definitely think about ideas and develop them in my mind a lot before I even get to the first sketches.
Well, this is a totally different kind of painting, but we were talking earlier about how I like to paint rooms. I like to put up the crown molding. But I do find that I have to, this last week when I was doing some work on my house, I had to go in and sit in that room and look at the wall that I was working on to know exactly what I wanted in there. And then there's a matter of finding what I want in there. And you can just create it.
Well, you know, when you mention that, I picture myself in a room trying to decide on a paint color and just staring at the wall for an hour. There's a lot of staring involved in what I do. I stare at
space, the final frontier.
At a canvas, or I'll stare at a tree or whatever and just think a lot, how can I do this? What will I do here? And I go through a number of tangents in my mind before I come back to what I was trying to think of in the first place, but...
But you know when you've hit on what you want.
Sometimes. Often.
Sometimes.
Not
often.
Always. Usually I'll have an idea that will start growing and I'll know that's the thing.
So what do you do if you're involved in a project or thinking about a project and you can't think of what you want?
You've got a time limit.
Good question.
Do you get writer's block? Canvas style.
Definitely. It happens for sure. And it seems to me that'll happen a lot in the middle of a project where the idea will already have been...
I've heard it called the miserable middles.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Where I'll, like I say, I stare at the painting and what do I need? I'll turn it over to look at it in a different way, mm-hmm. which with the murals wasn't mm-hmm. possible. So yeah. I take a mirror to it.
And look at it.
One of the things that I did when I designed when I was doing the posters mm-hmm. for
writing snippets,
was that I was all doing it on the computer, of course, but I flipped it over and then turned it backwards so that I could see where it was unbalanced and what mm-hmm. needed to be changed visually. Rather than staring at the words, because I'm a word person.
Right. Yeah, I've done that on the computer, too. You just flip it around and look at it, and right away you see it mm-hmm. differently. And that's the exact same thing as putting it in front of the mirror, which I do all the time, or I'll lean it against the wall, step back, get a different view, close one eye, turn my head a little bit, put this hand over that part of the painting. There's a lot of that.
Interesting. What is it that makes it? Because I've done that before, too, doing drawings. And then you turn it over and you're like, oh, it's really off balance.
Well, it's a lot the same as kind of putting it away and coming back to it mm-hmm. days or weeks later. But you can do it instantly by just seeing it in a new viewpoint.
Yeah. It's kind of a metaphor for life, isn't it?
Look at it upside down.
Turn
your life upside down and then you'll see what's wrong.
Isn't that what happens a lot? Your life gets turned upside down.
It's true. It's true. And then you go, oh, there's something I need to fix.
Well, or you'll have someone else come and get their feedback. Mm-hmm. And for my art, for sure, I have my wife all the time. Can you take a look at this? What do you think of this? Or the worst is if I bring something and say, now, there's something wrong with this, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. Mm. And then she hates that, and I don't blame her, because then, well, is it this? No, there's nothing wrong with that. So it's not really fair to do. I want to see if other people are seeing that thing uh-huh. as a problem, or
yeah.
I'll be staring at a painting for so long, painting on it that there's a lyric in a song that says, become so involved you don't know what to think.
Yeah, you can't see
it. And so getting someone else's viewpoint is...
Mm-hmm. That's what we do in our writing group, is we give each other our work and say, tear it to pieces and mm-hmm. tell me there's something wrong with it. What is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Illustrators are loners. They usually work alone. And
so you can't go to a group and have a therapy session and pass your paintings around and say, what's
wrong
with
this?
Some
people do it. I've got a friend who's in one, a little illustrator.
Really?
I thought, that would be fun.
Interesting. But, okay. Well, we better wrap this one up.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael, for joining us. And we'll be watching your work.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we'll be giving away one of the Jimmy Fincher books with the cover art on it, which is amazing cover art, for our giveaway this month. So if you comment for our podcast, you'll be entered in that drawing.
And look for Michael Phipps on www.michaelphipps.com.
.net.
Sorry.
.com, you'll get a guy in Australia.
You tried it!
Well, people have written him asking him if he'll do a CD cover. He's not an artist.
Oh, no.
He's been good. He's contacted me.
That's funny.
Well, right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.